In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was reviewing this gospel reading in preparation, I'm realizing it's one of those wonderful readings that we love and hate. It makes us feel comforted and maybe makes us a little nervous at the same time. If it doesn't make you a little nervous at the same time, it should. And maybe when I'm done, it will. But the fact of the matter is, it's comforting and scary and ultimately comforting. But Jesus has a way of being that way, doesn't he? And if we begin, it's chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. We're okay so far? That's it. From here on out, you got to wonder. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Now, we already know, because we've heard it already, that he's talking about us. We're the branches. He's the vine. And it seems like all these years I thought the church had it wrong, and turns out we actually have it right. So when somebody shows up and does something good for the betterment of the church and the building up of God's kingdom, if they do a little bit, we immediately run over there and just give them a ton of work to do. And it seems like God's going to do the same thing. You know, if you're bearing a little bit of fruit, he's just going to prune you so you bear more fruit. If you don't bear any, then I guess, well, you know, you're just going to get cut out. Again, sounds like the church, doesn't it? And it's a little bit frightening to hear it. Because we want to think that we're doing good things, and sometimes we discover maybe we're not. And it's not just what we're doing outwardly where this comes into play. And then we wonder, how can this even be? How do we even get to this place? And he tells us, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. So Jesus has already done what it takes for us, the branches, to adhere to the vine, the source. We still get to choose a little bit, though, don't we? We can choose to detach from the vine, but we know what's going to happen. But the strange thing is, if we attach to the vine and don't fully engage what this relationship that he's trying to describe to us is, we're going to wither still. Because the fullness of the attachment requires participation of each branch. The participation comes in this way. In verse 4, we hear, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's verse 4. Now, if you didn't catch on, the concept of abiding might matter. Four times we heard it in that one verse. It happens multiple times within this passage. And it's not a word we're familiar with in our daily language. It's not something I say. We maybe abide by the rules. That might be about the only time we hear it. I don't, but some people do. I hear it, I just don't abide in rules because you know me. It happens. But what does this abide really mean? And I discovered something else that I was unaware of. I don't know why, but I guess I just didn't pay attention. The Oxford Dictionary actually has what they call archaic definitions. And I thought, well, this is probably a time to use the archaic definition. So I looked it up, and the archaic definition for abide, where did I write it? I got to look. Live or dwell? I said, I like that better. Live or dwell. Live and dwell in me as I live and dwell in you. That sounds good. The writer of the commentary I was reading, George Murray, put it this way. Step into union with me. That sounds even nicer. But that's harder to remember. So live and dwell. Step into union with me. This is the relationship we're being called to. This is the relationship that Jesus is alluding to using this imagery of the vine and the branches. He's saying, get connected with me. Live and dwell with me. I will live and dwell with you. That should sound familiar to you. your Eucharistic prayers sound very much that way. What does it mean to do that? That gets a little more difficult, doesn't it? When the sinful are supposed to live and dwell with the sinless. Jesus, without sin, is saying to us, the sinful, live and dwell with me, and I will live and dwell with you. And he goes on further, and I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. That's actually a relief, by the way. In case it doesn't sound like a relief to you, I want it to. And whoever, here's the scary part. Every time it sounds good, it gets scary again. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Well, I'm done. Hey, who wants that? But there's this thing about the being, what do you call it? Every branch that bears fruit. He prunes, trims it back. Now, we live in Southwest Florida. I suspect at least one or two of us have done a little pruning already this year. If you haven't, you've probably paid somebody, and if you didn't pay somebody, you need to, because I guarantee you it's too late to get started. How do I know? I made the mistake. I was just obsessed with this concept of pruning as I was reading. I actually went out and thought, how many feet of hedges do I have in my yard? It's like 350 feet. My yard is not that big. And one of the hedges, by the way, is 8 feet tall and 3 feet deep. I'm the yard guy. This is not an easy task. But I do it. I hate doing it, but I love when it's done. I don't know if you've had that experience. It's best to leave me alone when I'm doing it, because I become rather unfriendly. I don't know if you notice, it's also hot outside. And I'm getting older, and I do stupid things and cut myself, and I fall, and I, you know, don't tell my wife that, you know, occasionally I fall off the ladder. But it's okay. I'm still here. But the fact of the matter is, doing it is painful, literally, for me. Being done with it is amazing. To sit and look and go, this looks good. And then 3 weeks later, I can't look at it anymore because there's that one little branch just stuck right out of the top, 8 feet off the ground, and I'm not going to get the ladder. But then there's also the other thing is it just, the plants look so much healthier after. Sometimes it's a time after because I tend to wait too long. So sometimes when I cut them, they really look like they've been cut. And I have to tell you, there are some plants that I have cut in hopes they would die. Sometimes I think Jesus is doing that to me. He's like, yeah, well, if I keep pruning this guy, maybe he'll just die. And in a sense, he is exactly doing that. He wants me to die to self. We're still fighting that out. But the one thing he doesn't do is the one thing that I have done in the past. I won't do it anymore. Is, I don't know, have you ever owned a hibiscus plant? They get those beautiful tropical flowers on them. Do you know what people hate doing with their hibiscus plants? Cutting them. You know why? Because the time we think about cutting them, they look terrible, don't they? They get these long sticks. Every branch is growing independently, but it's got these three or four beautiful flowers. So we just leave it. I'll cut it when the flowers die. But it never really does. It just always has three or four beautiful flowers. And I'll be honest, we had a lot of those at our home down in Bradenton, our previous home, and I got so tired of them, I cut them hoping they would die. And you know what happened? It became a beautiful hedge. And it didn't have just a few flowers. There were flowers everywhere on it. So now I just cut it. There's only two of them in my yard now. I don't even hesitate with those. Some of them I'm being real gentle. Those I just, if they're this tall, they're this tall when I'm done. Because they're going to be this tall in about 4 months anyway. And they're going to look beautiful. God is trying to make us look beautiful. Because there's parts of us that aren't. We get little independent pieces of us that shoot off in all sorts of different directions, don't we? We're not abiding. We're not living with him so he can live with us. We're not dwelling with him so he can dwell with us. We're doing what we want to do, and we're hoping he's going to be happy with two or three beautiful flowers that pop up. And you know, he's really not. What he sees in there is potential. And seeing potential in another human being is an important thing. See, because each of us probably has someone in their life that maybe saw, but I pray you do. If you don't, come see me. I want to be that person for you. Hopefully each of us has someone in our lives that sees or saw our potential before we did. And they pressed in. And they loved us gently and sometimes not as gently. So I had this really wonderful experience of finally going to the local community college and becoming a student. Because that was not a direction I had any intention of ever going, but that was God's plan, clearly. And I came back. I took they gave the little exam on the computer, and I thought I was doing good. What I found out later is the more questions you get wrong, the easier the questions get. So they can figure out just how far behind are you. So after doing that and getting my ID, I go back home, and my wife goes, "What classes did you sign up for?" I'm like, "Oh, I didn't sign up for any classes." And she's just, "Then why did you go?" I said, "Well, that's a really good question. Because I'm arguing with God, and you've been telling me for 10 plus years I should go." But see, the wonderful thing is, there's often someone in our lives that sees our potential. And they are willing to do the hard things with us so that we might reach our potential. So I needed that person so desperately, I married her. So she's still there helping and pushing. And part of what moves me is the fact that she sees something in me that I don't always see. And she's always ready to lovingly point it out. The tough part is she often sees things in me that I don't want to see. And she lovingly points it out. I need it. I don't know if that's your story, but it's mine. So when I hear this passage, I say, you know what? Jesus is the same way with me. I will admit Susan is more gentle with me than Jesus is. He's probably more patient than she is, but he's more gentle. So we go along the way and we try to discover what is it we are called to do, and sometimes we do it wrong. And sometimes in the midst of doing what it is we're called to do, we do it in so wrong it affects another person, and we think, I've done it, I've really messed up. And Jesus says, you did. Now I wish you'd just show up and go, okay, here's a list for today. What happens is that something goes wrong and he convicts my heart. And I go, what do I do now? He goes, fix it. If you screwed it up, fix it. It's really not that hard. We live in a time of grace. If I screw up so badly in my life, I fall on my knees before my God and I cry out to him and confess my sin. And without fail, he picks me up and says, I got you. Don't do it again. Most of the time in life, that works too. But sometimes it doesn't. People feel differently. But that's okay. Shouldn't stop us. But sometimes we are stopped. We stop dead in our tracks. Rather than go forward abiding with Christ, rather than letting him abide with us. Because when he lives and dwells with you and you live and dwell with him, the goal is you will ultimately end up looking more like him than you. And that can become painful. And this is my understanding as to why. And as I shared earlier in the words of a dear friend of mine, in my most humble but accurate opinion, the reason it is hard is because we identify with the world and the way the world decides things should be, and the way the world has decided we should be. And when we see our flaws and the world sees our flaws, we want to claim them independently and be our little branch sticking out over here, when what we really need to do is allow him to abide in us so that he can bring the pruning and the correction, and that we may bear much fruit for him. But we identify with the worldly things, and we do it when we say things like, well, that's the way I am. Or worse, that's the way God made me. No, not the way God made you. Your first parents, Adam and Eve, roped you into that. That's your sinfulness coming out, brothers and sisters. See, God is trying to make you like him. Not to be him, but to be like him, so that we can move and do all that he's called us to do. And as we know from the Gospel of John, that by the power of his Spirit dwelling in us, we will do all that he did and more. Amen? So we can only do that when we become more like him. We can only be more like him when we let go of the things that we're clinging to that are not of him. Amen? So if you are identifying yourself in some way that sounds like it's in opposition of what God is doing, that is not how he made you. That is how the sinful world has convinced you you are supposed to be. And that's a little harder to take. So we squeeze out a few little flowers now and then. And we hope it's enough that we don't get pruned. But when we allow him to live and dwell with us, it might hurt. You might fall off the ladder. But when that pruning is done and more fruit begins to show, it's beautiful. Now here's the worst part, hardest thing for us, good Western Christians that we are. You may want to brace yourself. It's not about you. It's about everybody else. It's about everybody else because we follow Jesus, who made his sacrifice for all, so that he will be glorified, not us. It's not to our glory. It is not to our benefit alone. It is to the glory of God that we bear fruit. As it says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. We don't always get what we want. No, I'm not going to sing it. It's just a good song, though. You all said it, but you get what? You get what you need, amen. But the reality is, we don't always know what we need until the Lord steps in and takes care of it. He can only step in and take care of it when we remember that he is the vine and we are the branches. And in order for us to bear much fruit, we must be abiding in the vine, because without him, we can do nothing. It's really actually comforting, isn't it? I really pray it is for you. My greatest prayer for myself, and yeah, I do pray for myself because, as you well know, I need it, is that I will pay more attention to what God wants from me than what I want for myself. And when someone sees something in me, I can hear him speaking to me. When they see that I have some sort of value that I don't recognize, when they see a potential that I don't see, and even if they say that, your potential would be easier to reach, Brian, if you could just sort of smooth out this rough edge a little bit. I want to say, help me smooth it out. Not because I make myself a better person, but because by the fact that accepting the changing, accepting the pruning, accepting the guidance that is offered to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God within this world, indwelling me and indwelling you and living among us, we develop into the people He truly calls us to be. And brothers and sisters, the world needs this church. This world needs this Jesus that we know. And the best way for them to come to know the Jesus that we know is the better we know Him, the more they see Him. The more we live and dwell with Him, and He lives and dwells with us, the more visible His work becomes in the world. Just like we heard earlier, we don't see the wind, but we see how it moves when it moves things. The Spirit of God is moving this church, amen? The Spirit of God is indwelling us, His people. We, the more we dwell with Him and live with Him, the more we will be able to see and witness in the world of His very presence. It will be visible, and it is. And we could say, but isn't that enough? And then I want you to think about that hibiscus bush that you probably all owned or your neighbor owns, and it drives you crazy with its three flowers and its ugly branches, and think, man, it would look so much better and bear much more fruit if we just cut it back, and know that that will be the same for us, and accept the pruning from the vine dresser so that we can see the presence of the vine through the branches. Let God rule. So the power of His Spirit indwelling His church will change the world. Amen.